Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother. Again, and I have my co-host with me, Alicia.
Hello.
And we just returned from seeing Murder on the Orient Express, the 2017 version. A couple of nights ago, we saw the 1974 version by Sidney Lumet, which is an excellent, excellent director, and it kind of showed as well. But the new one actually was done by Kenneth Branagh. People seen him all over the place. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to go into it, but he actually directed one of the Thor movies. So if you reach back and see, he did one of the Thor movies. I think it was the second one. And he didn't do not a bad job. He didn't do a bad job. So he's really diverse now in what he's directing. And this one was an interesting remake to get done. So what is the Orient Murder on the Orient Express about? Well, it centers around
the best detective in the world,
Herculane Poirot. They call him Hercules, and he said, "No, Hercule." And he keeps saying it over and over and telling people to straighten up their tie. But he's the greatest detective in the world, and he happens to get on a train, the Orient Express, to go to a place so he can chill out because he's goes around the world solving mysteries here and there.
Yeah, will he stop solve the crime before the train stops?
Yeah, so the purpose, he didn't get on a train to solve a crime.
No, he did.
But he just happens to be on a train when a crime, a murder, was committed. And it was an avalanche that stopped the train. So before anyone can get off the train and get away with the murder, he is tasked to solve the murder. So what makes this interesting, and not interesting to a lot of other people, this is a closed, pretty much a closed set movie because it takes place on the train.
Yep.
They really don't go anywhere else. Now, at the beginning of each movie, the one in 1974, they start by getting on a ferry. From a ferry, they try to board the train, and the detective, Detective Perrault, he needed a spot because they wanted him to go to London for another investigation. So one of his friends happened to be on the train, so he hooked him up to be able to get on the train. On this one, pretty much the same scenario, but Kenneth Branagh, who plays Detective Perrault, they show you that he was solving a crime in Istanbul, right?
Yeah.
So he was at the wall, and it was three priests, and they wanted him to solve a crime, but it was a rabbi, a priest, and an imam. And he solves it, and, you know, all craziness goes about. They show his uniqueness, and the biggest thing about him is his mustache, which is like an amazingly waxed mustache that is like speaks for itself. So
yeah, no, wasn't it
his mustache
cool?
Was his own character.
I mean, it was like they cut it from his nose and made it, if he had a thick beard.
He like extended it out.
He extended it out.
Then it curled up. But he's the greatest detective in the world. So he is able to solve almost anything because he actually observes everything. So he's a really good detective to look at certain things. So same scenario. But here's the difference. They had a whole bunch of different actors and actresses. And some high-profile actresses. I'm going to start with the 1974 version. Albert Finney, he played Hercule Perro. Ingrid Bergman was on there. Great actress. Lauren Bacall, love her. She's just crazy as fuck, but I just love her. Sean Connery, he was on there. Sean Connery was on there. Vanessa Redgrave was on there. Jacqueline Bisset, which was a really good actress as well. Anthony Perkins, that everyone knows from Psycho. John Gillenaud, he was the actual butler. You've seen him around, but when you see him, you're like, oh, if you remember him as the butler on Arthur. So if you ever saw the movie Arthur, he played the butler for, I forgot the guy who played Arthur, but he played a butler there. Michael York was on it. Martin Balsam. We've seen him before, too. And Richard Widmark. So there were some major, major actors during that time. And you said they got nominated for a couple of awards, baby?
The first one they got for for costume. And you said, I think, a supporting actress?
Yeah, so supporting actress. I think it was Ingrid Bergman who won for that. But so the original one really got some good play.
It's a true classic.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because of the actors and actresses.
Yeah, because how many of them are still alive?
Wow. I think Albert Finney is dead. Lauren Bacall. Vanessa Redgrave is still alive, right?
I don't know.
There's a lot of these people are definitely, like Leisha said, dead. So.
Yeah. But those were, back in those days, you talk about acting, those were classic.
Mm-hmm.
Memorable actors back when we watched that movie.
Yeah. So what made this also interesting is they had the new one had a whole bunch of no names,
they had a lot of famous people in this one.
So the young policeman, do you know who he was?
No, I don't.
The young boy.
No, I don't.
The British police chief inspector?
No, I don't. But I'm talking about the ones on the train.
The one on the train.
You know,
did you know?
From Penelope Cruz was on there.
Yeah, she was on there.
Right. And Willem Dafoe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Judith Dench.
Yeah, right. Josh Gad.
Yeah,
Johnny.
I mean, so the main stars
mm-hmm.
were the ones on. I'm not talking about the supporting.
A lot of them, a lot of these people, like you said, the major ones, there was a couple of people that I was kind of like, who?
Like Leslie Odom.
Yeah, he was just even, getting, yeah, you didn't really even, know who he was, right?
Well, no, because he didn't even look like the person that was in there. Because like I was trying to remember who he was, and you're like, I said, you know, in Hamilton. Yes, that's mm-hmm. him. And so, but he didn't look like him. He gained weight. They put the makeup on him.
Yeah. So another example was Olivia Colman. She played Hildegard Schmidt. So most people don't recognize her because she plays on a lot of British movies.
Exactly. She's a star.
Yeah, she's a star British. in Europe.
Yeah.
I know her. We know her.
Yes,
but
yes,
she's really not a familiar face. And
Michelle Pfeiffer, how long has it been since she's been doing a role?
Well, we know Michelle, though. Michelle is known. But the other lady, the other lady that was with Leslie Odom, who was she? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she showed up, but we didn't know who she was. But to plug those in, they did a pretty good job. So this really is about the comparison. And I'll start off because I usually like to have Alicia's thought, but my take was it was a decent movie. If I wasn't a fan of classic movies, I would say, "Whoa, this is pretty interesting. This guy, he really did a good job." Kenneth Branagh brought a lot of good stars together, and you know, Johnny Depp played an asshole like he normally can, and he played a good asshole, and that's why they killed him.
Yeah, but, I like that part.
That was cool. Josh Gad showed up, and we saw him. He was on the last one we was on, right? The last, Marshall. Wasn't he on Marshall as the lawyer?
I can't remember.
So he was on, he played the Jewish lawyer with our boy Chadwick Boseman on Marshall. So if you saw that movie, the one, the Jewish fat lawyer that was with him, that's Josh Gad.
Okay, yeah, that's
so
right.
So he's pretty cool. He's
there
a good
you go.
Guy.
You're right.
Penelope Cruz,
now.
She's not really doing a lot, but she played a great, great role on there because she played the role that Ingrid Bergman did on the original one. So she showed up pretty well. Michelle Pfeiffer played, what did she play, baby?
She played
Mrs. Hubbard,
yeah,
who compared her to Lauren Bacall, but Lauren Bacall just blew her away. So that was no whatever. And then Princess Dragomirov, she was like Austrian. Judi Dench showed up and she just blew you away again because she's just so elegant and majestic in the way she approaches things. So I think she was like really, really well. So a lot of these characters, they play really good. William Dafoe, he played Gerard Hardman, and I don't know who he was on the original one because, you know, they still have people, but I was kind of like, yeah, you don't know who that is. But pretty good comparison. So they had some decent characters. Here's the twist. What's that? Leslie Odom.
Played
the doctor.
Right.
Where Sean Connery played the colonel that was on the original one. So she was in love and he happens to be an African American. So he changed the narrative of the original one and had like a forbidden love from that. Where the original one, she was married and she supposedly got a divorce. Mm-hmm. And the colonel wanted to be with her, so he was kind of like protecting her. On this one, Leslie was an African-American man, and, you know, they wanted to get together, but they had to do what they had to do on the train before they got off. So that was another twist. Give him a lot of credit. I told Leisha when we walked out of there, there was a lot of African-Americans showing up in here as opposed to the original one.
The original one, which was all white people.
Yep. And I think it was Turkish people because I think it was
Turkey. But again, you know, they, like you said, everything was done on the train.
Yeah.
They did not get off the train.
Mm-hmm. So after they left the port, it was all about the train.
It was all about the train, which was actually made the first movie very unique.
Yep.
It was, I mean, I loved how they just kept it on the train. It was, you know, because it was uncomfortable. It was sleeping quarters there. Mm-hmm. So, and you had to squeeze through each other.
And you had to sit with people.
Yeah.
Every day until you got to your destination.
Exactly.
Unless you, you know, ate
so
in your room.
It's freezing cold there's an avalanche and it's freezing fucking cold. Why would I get off the goddamn train? Right. So why would I get off the goddamn train?
Yeah. So all the luxuries and amenities are all on the train.
Yes. Because in Europe,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we both know that in Europe, being on a train is like,
the mode of transportation.
Yeah, it's like an elegant hotel. You know what I'm saying? Being on a train because the trains in Europe are made to be comfortable. They serve food. They serve drinks. You sleep on the train, but they also are very fast.
Fast as hell.
Yeah. So
well, this was old. So this one wasn't
old
fast. School,
right. This was
but
old.
But it was to the point, like Leisha said, it was very accommodating. Which made it like really, really interesting.
So my perspective of the movie is I fell asleep. Michael woke me up because I was snoring. So that actually tells you how I really thought about the movie. Mm. But in some ways the movie was very boring. It was slow.
Yep.
I didn't like how, I understand why he would put people of diversity, black people in there, but if you're talking about going back in that time, there would not be dark color people, you know, in that
area. Yeah, it would. Because you're in Turkey.
Where the priests and where they were at the first time were.
Yeah, Turkey, baby.
That was Turkey? I thought that was Italy.
No, Istanbul, Turkey.
Okay.
Istanbul.
No, I thought they took the train from Istanbul, Turkey.
Yeah.
But the first part of the movie
Yeah, that's where they took the...
That was
still in Turkey.
Okay.
They took a ferry to take the train. Mm-hmm. No, that's realistic. You're just used to seeing movies and things that doesn't show black people, but black people are everywhere.
Okay. I mean, because I'm thinking back in those times and late in that time, that is...
It was not America now. So
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I totally understand that, but... What I'm saying was, we're talking about the way the movie was meant to be was 1930s, 1940s. So, and that's why I'm looking at it.
Okay.
And so back then, I'm thinking, well, they didn't have black people in Turkey as police officers. So I don't know that.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
So that's my mistake.
No, I mean, I'm not saying the police officer. Because there was black people in the crowd and there was... You know, black people in the area. I didn't even center on a black police officer. I saw him having cast members, or not cast members, but extras that were around were people of color beside the Turkish people in the area. And he did a conscious decision to put them out there. So I always give him credit with that. He did that with Thor. He put Idris Elba in there, and that's why everybody, all of the white races, got pissed at him. There's no black people in Asgard. There's no black gods. So they was pissed at him there. So Kenneth Branagh was like, hey, I like black people. I'm going to put them in my movies. So that's what he does. So I give him credit for that. Was it, to your point, was it really realistic that it was a black officer or a black man that they would allow to get on the train during that time? I don't know. Europe isn't like that.
Right, and that's why I said, I don't know. Yeah. But it didn't...
It didn't look right to you, though.
Right, it just didn't
feel
realistic.
Yeah, I got that.
So
his mustache didn't look realistic. So I was okay with that, too.
Okay.
But, you went to sleep. Go ahead.
Yeah, I fell asleep. Michael knocked me. I was snoring. So, again, like I said, it was boring. It seemed slow. The storyline is they tried to make it. I think he tried to put Americanize it in some way.
Yep, very good, because that's what I thought.
Yeah, and I'm like,
Or Westernize it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the acting was really good. Well, you know,
it was good.
Judi Dench is like our favorite any goddamn way.
I don't think it was great. I think it was good.
The makeup was kind of...
Yeah, you said...
I seen that makeup. I was like, on Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
It looked really not good. It didn't look...
But I really think they did that intentionally to make him look...
Yeah, but the first time I seen it, it looked bad. Then the next cut he was in, it didn't look that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I missed that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was kind of a little bit, because you could tell when they change it up, because you know he's like, okay, he must have had to do another scene. The makeup looked different from the first makeup. Mm-hmm. So, overall, I didn't like the fact that when the train stopped, he had them sit outside in the freezing cold. Yeah, what the hell?
So, he wanted to make a spectacle to say, here's the 12 people. You know what I mean? So that was his intent. I knew exactly what he was doing.
Intimidation and rile them up and make them feel uncomfortable.
Say, shoot me, you know, shoot me.
But again,
it was grandstanding.
Yeah, but that's almost Americanizing how Americans...
It was to dramatize and show kind of like, whoa, check it out. This is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, then they were in the tunnel sitting like, you know, looking like the table of Jesus. God damn. I'm like,
good one.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
So let's sit your...
Pass the wine. Pass the wine, God damn it.
And then, you know, I killed him. I killed him. I was like, damn, is that Jesus?
So that I didn't think any of that was dramatic. None of that was dramatic to me.
So Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't dramatic when she said that she'll take the blame for everything.
She tried to be dramatic, but I don't think...
And then took the gun and tried to shoot herself.
Yeah. So so I know what it's supposed to have been, but... Go ahead, you finish. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't say no more.
Okay, sorry. I got you.
I'm sorry.
So, it was an average movie. People liked it. I think people liked it because they liked to see the stars.
The stars was on there. Yeah,
they did a pretty decent job. The storyline wasn't exciting. It didn't give you any intrigue or, woo, even though if you knew what was going to happen, it didn't give you that feel of like, whoa, what the hell? You know, the dialogue wasn't snappy enough. You know, this guy's smart as hell, but they didn't challenge him either. You know what I mean? There was nothing challenging on the dialogue. It was just him being smart.
So in the first move, in the first one.
All right, well, let me kind of finish.
Okay.
Because I'm going to get to the first one. This is why I'm saying all of this.
Okay.
So there was no challenging of the smartest detective in the world, but there was no effort to do that either. Everybody just stayed in their kind of lane and didn't do much. And he just asked simple questions and then came up with detecting what actually occurred. So that's what I got from this new one. The old one, he moved them all aside. Him and his friend debated who it was. It was kind of humorous at times, but the dialogue was so snappy. What's her name? Lauren Bacall was just amazing. She was just all up. He was like, almost like, could you shut the hell up? Because she just kept talking, but she was doing it intentionally. Yeah, Sean Conway wanted to be Mr. Macho, and he had to calm him down. So everybody was acting a certain way that, you know, Albert Finney was very, he was very, I can't think of the word, but he was very eccentric. So his mannerisms was really eccentric in ways where Kenneth Branagh wasn't. He wasn't really eccentric. He just wanted particular things. So his relationship with all of the people, him talking to Anthony Perkins, the way Anthony Perkins was kind of like, oh, kind of fidgety. Oh, and I was, yeah, no, and no, I never liked him. And it was they had their own personalities. Here, there was just people that happened to be together. When you found out, even with the princess, the one who played the princess on the first one, she was so, she barely opened her mouth and everything needed to be just for her and her German assistant. She had her own personality. Everybody had such a personality that kept you either entertained or intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
This movie didn't give you that. And I think it was because I loved the first one so much that it didn't live up to it.
Yeah, it was funny. Like you said, it was snappy.
It was snappy. The dialogue was snappy. There was humor in it.
Yeah, but this one, like I said, I don't even want to say it. We didn't get there yet. But the detective on the first one was a whole lot better.
No, he was... Yeah,
I mean,
Albert Finney was fantastic.
I mean, I would see that again now. Yeah, it's a true classic. It is a true classic. I mean, if you watch it again, like you said, we could watch it again. It's like, okay, I don't want to see this.
Yeah, you want to see the new one. Then you'd be like, see, this is what they was trying to do.
This is
what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So that's why that classic is such a good movie.
Johnny Depp had the personality to have. If it's all about the directing. Say it again.
Yep. All about the director.
Because Johnny Depp can be a comedian. That boy have done some...
But that's not the role. Because that guy was an asshole.
Yeah, it's understandable. You know what I mean? And he was an asshole. But this one day made him a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't tell me that a gangster ain't had a little snap or...
But that's not what the first role was. The first role, he was just an asshole and very demanding.
Yeah,
and
but
whatever
in the
like
first
that.
Role, you really didn't see how bad he was.
You kind of did.
But it was a short piece. It was really short.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? And to the point where it was so short, you dead. This was it. But what's so funny was about the first one, when they told you, when you found out how he got killed, it was hilarious how each one took a knife and go, huh.
Everybody
that
had a turn.
That was hilarious. On this one, it looked like they just was just violent.
Well, that's what it's supposed to have been. I think he did it kind of comical in the first one because you kind of like...
Different director.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, different
director. So he didn't intentionally make it comical, but it looked comical because everybody had their turn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, okay. But...
And then, you know, the greatest detective in the world on the second movie was emotionally drained. Well... Y'all have to tell. I am not going to report this.
I know. There's so many. Where the one on the other one was like, whatever.
Yeah. I solved the case.
Y'all did what the fuck y'all want to do. I'm off to something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was like, yeah, okay.
All right. I'm not going to report all of y'all because...
I understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kenneth Branagh was like, you know, and all of these speeches and shit. But, you know,
All right.
Go ahead.
What's your rating? I'm going to ask you.
So, you know, we just finished seeing, what was the one we just saw that we rated a 5? The Justice League. Two different kinds of movies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's give it that. Two different kinds of movies. But, I'm going to give this one...
Drum roll.
I'm going to give this one a 5.7.
Wow.
And the reason why I'm giving it a 5.7 is because some of the acting on here was good.
Wow.
But the story and everything else, I'm not going to see this again.
Yeah, you're going to be upset. You're going to be laughing when I tell you my score.
I figure.
A 4.
Yeah, because you went to sleep.
Yeah, that was bad.
Because it was... So... I watch movies a little longer because I'm hoping there's something that will make me say, oh, okay, oh, this is why it was so slow, and give me a reason to say, I'm glad I didn't nap off because I would have missed this.
No,
but
you know,
it didn't fucking happen. It didn't happen.
I said to myself while I was sitting there, Alicia, you can stay up through this. You can hold out. You strong enough. This is not that kind. It's not that boring. Oh, I couldn't do it.
I held out because again, I really was hoping that it would give me something to start saying, oh, okay.
Mm.
But about an hour or so into it, it was headed toward a bad way.
Hell, it was getting close to the end, and I was trying to keep my eyes open. That's how bad it was. I was desperately trying to keep my eyes open, and it was parts that was like, okay, yeah, you got my attention, and then it was parts that's like, well, what the hell, what are you talking for?
So
I mean, like at the end, I was like, I still didn't understand why they had the table of Jesus there.
That was that was the director wanted to give a vision of, let's put the accused in front of you. That's what he did it for.
Yeah.
It was no purpose other than, because remember on the first one, they were still in the cabin car.
Yeah. Like the people who was running the train, hey, we gotta go. You can get inside the train.
No one is not leaving. Yet. And then he took out a gun and like scaring them and shit. I was like,
the movie was all about the train. It was all about the train. And he could have basically did it right on the train.
So this movie was all about
the scene.
Him. No, it was about him, the detective. Kenneth Branagh wanted to be all about him.
Right.
So everything was about him.
Well, $55 million, and you're on, this view was beautiful. Now, we don't know if it was real view. They probably put a blue
some
screen.
Some of it was
green
real,
screen.
But some of it you can tell.
Yeah.
Remember when he was leaving out of Istanbul? That didn't look real.
Yeah, that's true.
That shit didn't look real at all.
So, I mean, so again, they made their money. They made their money, so they're good.
So it wasn't supposed to be a blockbuster. It's supposed to have been something that people would say, oh, okay. Yeah, they're doing a remake. Maybe some of the acting on here, we can nominate them for an Oscar.
Nope. No, that's not going to happen.
Not for anything that I see.
No, that's not going
to
happen.
But, you know, we had free tickets, so we went to go see it.
Yeah, that's true. We sure did.
And then we just had dinner.
At least they didn't hold it back like, you know, the Marvel
Justice League and assholes. assholes. But anyway, but yeah, that's Murder on Orient Express 2017. Don't bother.
Yeah, seriously, don't bother.
Go see or find out how to download the 1974 version. You'll be highly entertained by that.
Yes, you would. That was
same concept, better acting, better directing, better visuals on all of that. Much, much better. I totally enjoyed it. Again, like I said, I'll see that one again before I see this one. And I'll stake this review on that review. So that's what we have. BougieBlackBrother.com, BougieBlackBro, IG, Twitter, Fine Black Woman, IG, and Twitter, Coffee Woman and Tech, and the Tech Podcast that you may be able to see and go on and get your tech stuff on. And the Bougie Black Brother Network on Facebook. So try your luck on that. Urban Lifestyle Cafe on Facebook as well. So if you really want to see where we dropped our little tidbits and snippets of what we're putting out, you'll be able to see them on all of those areas, except for the tech ones. You get your tech separately. Anything else, Bobby?
No, that's it.
Thank you so much, Urban Lifestyle Cafe, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.